broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it was refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's interesting they try to run around and tell you that I'm anti-government, but folks, aren't I doubling down, telling you to stand for the proper role of limited constitutional government every single day? Aren't I the guy that rejects revolution and stands for peaceful restoration of the proper role of government that our founding fathers put together? I do so in the traditions of our founders, so if I'm anti-government, but I promote the founding fathers who created a government, and I say we ought to have government as they worked so hard to build, how can I be anti-government? Just wondering. The reality is they don't like it when I'm anti-rogue government, when I'm anti-unconstitutional government, when I'm anti-socialism and communism and tyranny, then they like to attack me. But understand who's who. The truth shall set us free. Chris Carlson with us. Welcome back, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Sam, Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Seems to me that Joe Biden is off his rock, buddy. I mean, the guy's nuts on parade. Now Joe Biden is literally unconstitutionally bypassing Congress to, quote, fight climate emergency, he claims. Now, if I'm calling for the proper role of government with checks and balances and saying, look, you cannot just jettison Congress, but Joe Biden wants to circumvent Congress and do it on his own, who's anti-government, me or Joe? See, I'm calling for government to work properly and to function as designed by our founding fathers and as designed by the supreme law of our land. Joe Biden trying to use his office to circumvent what he swore an oath to uphold. Who's anti-government, Chris?
Well, it's an emergency situation, don't you know? Yeah. No, I'm with you there. I'm just saying.
And by the way, the rule of law and the Constitution and its checks and balances were designed just for these very emergencies we're talking about, sir.
Oh, but you're not reading into the 28th Amendment. The 28th Amendment says government can do whatever the heck they want under emergency situations. And we're in an emergency situation.
And I would respond and say, where's the authority? Hold on, where's the authority granted for that in the contract?
Well, there is no 28th Amendment. I'm being facetious, obviously.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Joe's anti-government, but yet they call me anti-government. And I simply say, look, Joe Biden is unconstitutionally, in other words, against the rule of law and against his oath of office, bypassing Congress to supposedly fight a climate emergency. Now, who decides it's an emergency? How long have they been at this climate change lie? They used to say that global cooling was the issue. Now they say it's global warming. Then they say it's climate change. But it all goes back to their very documented laid plans, Chris.
Well, I remember, Sam, do you remember the Weekly Reader? In about third or fourth grade, we were reading these current event magazines designed for fourth or fifth graders that were called the Weekly Readers. And they were kind of designed to get young people accustomed to reading the newspaper, but they were geared down to a fourth or fifth grade level. And I remember distinctly reading about global cooling. This was when I was, what, fourth or fifth grade? So that would have been 10 years old, 8, 9, 10 years old. I remember that. But apparently that didn't go over as well as global warming. Of course, global warming, we've been in a maunder minimum now for, what, the last 20 years? So that didn't go over so well. So we've changed that to climate change. So whether it cools or whether it warms, they've got their bases covered. Either way, it's an emergency, Sam. So we're invoking the penumbra of the Constitution. Remember that, the penumbra? To implement these emergency measures on the part of the chief executives. The unitary executive is basically what we're merging into, where the executive basically has all authority under any circumstances to override Congress, to override the courts, to override the people and their rights and the Bill of Rights. So, yeah, we're in an awful situation, and we need to wake up, and if we don't, and give the president some pushback. We know the president's not in charge. We know that it's his handlers. Probably Ron Klain is probably the intermediary between the real powers that control the course of our country and the president. Obviously, the guy who doesn't remember his name half the time, his wife's name. Anyway, yeah, so I would like to go down memory lane, if you'd like, today, Sam, since I am an historian. I do have a history degree from Brigham Young University. I would like to talk about some events that have happened within our lifetime that have kind of changed the course of our perception of environmentalism. Shall we do that, or did you want to say something else before we go there?
Well, there's a lot of important information in the history. This is what I mean by the documented, well-laid plans. They've been at this for a long time. As you mentioned, that it started out when you were a kid, what, 45 years ago, 50 years ago almost, where it really highlighted, hey, they were talking about global cooling then. And a man who I used to interview about 20 years ago wrote a book about this called Not by Fire, But by Ice, highlighting this conundrum that they're now caught in as they lie and then change their lies. History documents it, Chris.
Yeah, and let's start with Earth Day. You know, every April 22nd, we celebrate what is affectionately known as Earth Day. Now, let me give you a little history about that. So Senator Gaylord Nelson was the one who is accredited as basically establishing April 22nd, 1970 as Earth Day. And Congress recognized it back then. There's an interesting correlation between April 22nd, 1970, and somebody special in history's birthday. Do you know who that person's birth? And that would be the 100th anniversary of this individual's birthday. Do you know who that would be, Sam?
I don't know, but it's got to be a communist.
Vladimir Lenin, the founding father of the USSR.
Yeah.
It just happens that April 22nd, 1970, just happens, and I'm sure this is a complete and total coincidence, Sam, it happens to land on the 100th anniversary of his birth. So if he had lived to April 22nd, 1970, we would be celebrating his birthday. But instead, we're celebrating Earth Day. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence. So there's that. And, you know, the Illuminati, they don't do anything by accident. Everything they do is symbolic, just like 9/11 just happened to be on a day that we associate with emergencies. And a lot of other things that they do are very symbolic in nature because they're very devious. They're very cunning, crafty, and they're vengeful. They are, and they use symbolism to get revenge on their public enemy number one, which are God-fearing Christian people like you and me, Sam. And they do it in a very subtle way. So I'd like to just read. So a lot of the information I'm going to talk about today will come from a book that I read a few years ago called Climate Gate by a man by the name of Brian Sussman. And I don't know if you've ever had him on your show, Sam, but he documents a lot of the Brian Sussman. Yeah, and it's
but I'm
actually
familiar with him, though.
This book is probably eight or 10 years old. Anyway, he says the day, well, I guess I don't need to read his quote. I basically covered the basis on the correlation between Vladimir Lenin's birthday and the establishment of Earth Day. But there's another interesting.
By the way, before you get to that interesting connection, Vladimir Lenin reminds me of the Beatles' John Lennon. And imagine.
Yes.
Oh, that's the song. Imagine this. Yeah, there's a song called Imagine that documents a lot of this, too. And here's what it says. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for grief or hunger. a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us in a world we'll live as one. Think about that in relation to what we're talking about, folks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I've heard elementary school children sing that song in elementary school. And did you quote that from the top of your head, Sam?
No, sir. I looked it up.
Oh, you looked it up. Okay. Because it wouldn't surprise me.
I know it
me,
pretty well, but I didn't want to miss a word.
I know. It wouldn't surprise me because you did grow up in California, and I've heard elementary school students in California sing that song in music class, interestingly enough, only in California, right? I don't think they would have been able to pull that off here in Utah. But you did go to school in California in your early years. So,
unfortunately true. So, folks, understand this climate change lie is being peddled. The emergency scenario of this is being promoted by Joe Biden. He's literally jettisoning the rules of the Supreme Law to get there. He's violating the checks and balances. Now, we've got some more parallels for you. Then we'll drill into concrete examples of what's happening, what they're, pardon the southern term, fiction to do. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Yeah, the power of love, baby, it can save us. I'll tell you that right now, the love of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice through that love saves us all, ladies and gentlemen. But I got a little different. Imagine we were talking about writing a song on the break. Imagine if there is a heaven and God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, loves you. And he's promised us biblically, if we keep his commandments, he'll heal our land and bless us. You think if he heals our land, it might not get too hot or cold? You think if he heals our land, we might have enough water and rain? Wow, if I can only imagine. Oh, that's a better term. If I could only imagine. That's a little different than imagine, right? Folks, look, it's a battle between God and Satan, and we're in the middle. Don't make any mistakes. All right, there's a few more contrasts to highlight with this global warming, Chris.
Idea of what type of characters were involved with the establishment of the original Earth Day on April 22nd, 1970. Let's do a little profile in environmentalism. with an individual by the name of Ira Einhorn. And you would think that Ira Einhorn would be one of the great patron saints of the left, but he's kind of disappeared from the pages of the history because he was the master of ceremonies at the original establishment of Earth Day. And it was at Fairmount Park in Philadelphia on April 22nd, 1970, like we said. But he's kind of disappeared from the pages of the history because 7 years later, he did something very atrocious. He murdered his girlfriend. And let me just read from, now I'm quoting from NBCNews.com. And Ira Einhorn was on stage hosting the first Earth Day event at the Fairmount Park in Philadelphia on April 22nd, 1970. 7 years later, police raided his closet and found the composted, decomposed body of his ex-girlfriend inside of a trunk. On September 9, 1977, Maddox, which was his girlfriend's name, went back to the apartment they had broken up. She went back to the apartment so that she could get some of her belongings. But she was never seen again from that day forward. When Philadelphia police questioned Einhorn about her mysterious disappearance, several weeks later, he claimed that she had gone out to the neighborhood to buy some tofu and sprouts. So I don't need to read the whole thing, but suffice it to say that 18 months later, they returned to his apartment and found her decomposed body in a trunk in his closet after a neighbor, a downstairs late neighbor, had complained about this dark liquid oozing from his ceiling. Anyway, that's the type of, obviously not everybody that was involved with the original establishment of Earth Day were murderers. But that gives you kind of an idea of what type of people were involved with Earth Day. And then he fled to Europe, and they weren't able to indict him for years and years and years. But finally, they indicted him, they extradited him, convicted him of murder, and he's currently serving a life sentence. So,
no, now
I just
he's
thought
dead.
That maybe. Oh, did he die? Okay.
So yeah, he died.
Did you do a little? Okay, good. Well,
yeah,
he should
so
have
I actually
died.
Know a little bit about this guy. Oftentimes I say no because I don't want to steal the thunder of my guests, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
But Ira Einhorn, this guy is a nutcase, folks. He's nicknamed now the Earth Day Fraud, who became known as the, quote, unicorn, right? This guy was a nutcase, folks, and this is kind of what this is the people that come up with this Earth Day stuff. Okay, then later, when he got busted for this crime, he basically said, hey, man, it was a deep state government operative, and I've been framed. You see how they go? And then they call me a conspiracy theorist, see? But the unicorn he was a good guy. He kicked off Earth Day for everybody, you know? He was around for the first Earth Day. This is the kind of people that they hang out with. It reminds me of, like, the Unabomber scenario, right? It reminds me of these false flag things. Al Gore and others who have these, quote, real truth realities, and later everything they say and do is absolutely debunked, right? But that's the kind of people we're talking about, right?
Yeah, and it's not so much about the love for the earth as it is enmity towards mankind, and that was illustrated in the murder of his girlfriend, and I'm sure he had justification in his heart for doing so. I mean, obviously murderers always do. But these are the types of people, I think, that are trying to gain hegemony over the direction that our country is going into. And we better be careful and not be, you know, Jesus, when he sent his disciples out to preach his gospel, Sam, and we've gone over this scripture many, many times. He says, I send you forth as wolves among sheep. Be therefore wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. We've been harmless as doves up till this point. We just have not been as wise as serpents. If we had been, we would not fall for these hoaxes. There is no love on the part of these Illuminati members for the earth. There is hatred and enmity towards the Christians who God has commanded to have dominion over the earth in a responsible, caring, loving, and stewardship type of way. And they don't like that. They want to have stewardship, and they're going to turn that stewardship into unrighteous dominion. And we need to recognize that for what it is. And we've been duped over and over and over again, and we've mistaken enmity for love and concern of the earth, in the case of environmentalism, and for humankind in the case of socialism.
And the earth is what they're using as the battle point between Christians, in other words, the followers of God Almighty, and the godless and or the Satanists. So godless Satanists are on one side, God-fearing on the other side. You say, Sam, what are you talking about? Yeah, they use the earth for that battle, okay? And I'll give you an example. Their population control agenda is tied to this earth movement. Bill Gates literally says, hey, through vaccinations, we can reduce the population. They've gone on record. The Georgia Guidestones that we talked about a couple of weeks ago kind of highlights this. One of their big goals is to reduce the population by like 90%, okay? And what's interesting about that is they say that the earth just can't sustain that many people. That's what man says. Well, God says there's plenty. There's room to spare. And God issued a directive to his children, we the people, and said, multiply and replenish the earth. And I might add, you race haters, this reality. He said that to all of God's children, not just certain races. Every race should advance their cause. Every race should celebrate their heritage. Every race should want the perpetuation of their race to continue. God's children have been commanded to multiply and replenish the earth. That has not been given an exception of any kind, and that has not been rescinded, ladies and gentlemen. So contrary to God's law, these people say, hey, you know what? Zero population is the answer, my friend. There's no other way forward. Okay, so really it's a battle between the godless and the God-fearing. Think about Imagine, the song by the Beatles, the godless version. And then if I could only imagine, or only imagine, is that what it's called? Which is the God-fearing one. Imagine if I were, you know, before my Lord, what would I do? Would I dance for you, Jesus? Or I can only imagine. Yeah, that's what it's called. If I can only imagine. Okay, would I dance for you, Jesus? What would I do in awe of the Savior Jesus Christ? Two comparative songs that are absolutely, I don't even know how to describe, greater than 180 degrees opposite, but that's what we see. And when we discuss this, you got to start to say, who gets to set the temperature? When we say that it's warming too much, who determines the temperature and what the optimal temperature ought to be? And who sets that and who decides all this, right?
Yeah. Aren't we just as much a part of the ecology as an animal or a plant? I mean, out of one side of their mouth, they say, well, you know, we're just all products of nature. You know, we all have equal legitimacy. But on the other side, no, we need to be good stewards and cull the herd, which, you know, basically means don't have any kids. And can I make a clarification? Now, you alluded to the commandment to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And I thought about that scripture, Sam, many, many times. And I thought, why would God tell us to multiply three different times, you know, using three different forms of wording? I think the first one, be fruitful, means to provide a good home for your children and for your spouse. And then you can multiply and replenish the earth. So I don't know, that's kind of going off on a tangent. Do you see what I'm saying? So in other words, I don't think poor people that, you know, don't have the means to raise children, you know, should be cranking out kids, you know, one every year.
Why not?
Part of that.
God never gave an exception.
And we can agree to disagree on this, but
let me tell you why I say that. Who determines? Okay. Hold on. Who determines the level of poverty, or wealth, or whatever else? Think about the Indians of yesteryear, or now we call them the Native Americans, or whatever. And their populations, they literally were to some degree nomads. They just moved in the land. They lived in tents or teepee kind of things. They just moved when there was not enough food, when the land was worn out. And then move to a different spot. They'd let the land recover where they just left, and they'd go to a new spot and then move back. And they, you know, in our standards, they were in complete poverty, right?
Yes.
But the Lord doesn't say, go ahead and multiply and replenish the earth unless you've got two cars and a microwave there. Now, big screen TV and three squares a day. He doesn't say any of that stuff. I don't play God, ladies and gentlemen. I just try to obey him. Quick pause. We're talking about this climate change lie emergency that Barack and Biden got cooked up for us, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
Ukraine and Russia signed an agreement committing to let millions of tons of vital grain supplies ship out from Ukraine's long-blockaded southern ports. Russia has blocked Ukraine's Black Sea port since its full-scale invasion of the country on February 24, 2022, drawing accusations from the U.S. and Europe that President Vladimir Putin has weaponized food. The public school board in Uvalde, Texas, has put off a special meeting to discuss the fate of District Police Chief Pete Arredondo, with the board citing Arredondo's right to defend his actions that day in which 19 children and two teachers were fatally shot amid a multi-agency law enforcement response. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Capel here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
Patriot Software has saved our business by allowing me to focus on other aspects of the business rather than spending so much time on multiple platforms to do the things entailed on running a business. I found Patriot by complete accident, and I don't regret it. It is continuing to save our company, and I'm extremely excited to see what else it entails.
Easy to learn, easy to use, small business software tailored just for you.
Visit us at patriotsoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's patriotsoftware.com.
With patriotsoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
The White House announced that the U.S. is sending an additional $270 million in security assistance to Ukraine, a package that will include additional medium-range rocket systems and tactical drones. Ukraine forces have used U.S.-made rocket launchers and tactical drones to destroy dozens of Russian targets and hold at bay Russia's larger and more heavily equipped forces. Google is honoring Alethea Haven Ramirez, one of the students killed in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, by spotlighting her Google Doodle. The 10-year-old wanted to be an artist and had drawn artwork to submit to win the Doodle for Google Artwork Competition. Alethea was one of the 21 people killed in the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School on May 24th in Uvalde, Texas. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I maintain that God said multiply and replenish the earth, and he didn't say if you could afford to have kids. And let me explain why I say that. The enemies of liberty and the population reduction people, the earth folks, the environmental wackos, the elites, the deep state, whatever you want to call these jokers, Bill Gates, who owns more farmland than anybody in the country, kind of people who hate you and want to wipe most of us off the planet and use global change lies to peddle their destruction of everything godly. Most people who can't afford children are because they live in a government area where government is so abusive and hostile that it's government's fault that the people are in such poverty. We're fast approaching that in America, okay? And so if all of a sudden wicked government makes it impossible for me to support my kids, does that mean I shouldn't have any more? Okay, so the problem is, hey, when most people are in poverty, it's because the government grinds the face of the poor. The government shuts down all innovation and prosperity. And the godless communist agenda fosters that. But I look at Tonga and Samoa and some of these places where, you know what, they have very simple housing. They don't have internet, a lot of them. They live very, very, very simple lives. From our standards, they're absolutely poverty-stricken. But yet they're some of the happiest people on the planet. Should they not have children? Yeah. So we need to realize who's in what battle when, Chris.
Yeah, and based on their standards, I mean, they're living comfortably. And that's why I say it should be more subjective. That should be a matter between you and your God. And, of course, your spouse. If you can provide food, clothing, shelter, and at least a minimal of education, then by all means, fulfill that admonition from the Lord. And you've done a good job yourself. You've got 8 children. You've raised them well. I've met most of them, and they're wonderful kids. They're going to become, if they have not already, productive, God-fearing, productive contributors to society. And I commend you for that. So that's what I want to see more of. And I don't think we see a lot of that. And the point you made is very valid. The government, primarily through debauching the currency, has made it more and more difficult for families to provide for their children. And that's not their fault. That's the government's fault. But of course, in a republic, that by extension is the voters' fault. Anyway, I didn't want to get too far down on
it. To prove the point, look at China, though, and their one-child policy, and now it's backfired, and they're begging and paying people to literally have children in some of these countries. It is insane, ladies and gentlemen. But really, the American farmers are now warning food shortages ahead, Chris. And my response is, why would we have food shortages in America, man?
Why would? Yeah, they're trying to cull the herd. And they're trying to brainwash us into believing that we should either have small families or no families at all. And, you know, that's right along their agenda lines. And it may be more humane than, you know, killing us off the old-fashioned way through war. But, you know, obviously starving to death is not a good way to go either. But they want to reduce the population, I think, primarily so that they can control us more effectively. Because right now there's so many more of us, and we're beginning to wake up, and we're beginning to see the writing on the walls. But they always use means whereby they have justifiable deniability, to where they can say, "Oh, it wasn't our fault that there's a food shortage. It's climate change. You know, climate change is always the scapegoat."
Yeah, or it's the Russians. You know.
Oh, Vladimir Putin.
It's really the
Russians.
That's probably the problem there. Again, these kind of lies, ladies and gentlemen. But look, who gets to set the temperature? If God does not exist, then who has the authority to set the ideal temperature? About a third of this planet is uninhabitable because it's too cold. Now, people live there anyway, even though it's supposedly uninhabitable with modern technology and everything else. But there's not a place on the planet where it's too hot for people to live. What gives of that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if we want to expand the habitable land mass in the world, what's the best way to go about that? To increase the temperature in areas where man has heretofore not been able to inhabit because it's been too cold. There's no place on the planet where it's too hot. So I'm not sure that this trend, assuming that our Earth is warming, and I'm not sold on that, although there is some empirical subjective evidence in my life that the temperatures in the, because I work outside all the time, Sam, I feel like perhaps it's getting warmer. I don't know, but that's very subjective. It's not scientific at all. But even if it is,
my response is, let's say that it does get warmer.
Yeah.
Who's to say that's a problem?
Yeah, because we are, according to Darwinists, we are a part of the ecology, right? We're animals. Obviously, we're children of God, but you know, we are an integral part of nature. Why shouldn't our activity count just as validly as a plant or an animal going about its business on this planet, right? And you know, animals, you know, can affect change. The plant world obviously produces oxygen that changes the environment, and other animals produce carbon dioxide. The emission of a volcano produces more carbon dioxide than humankind from the beginning of time could ever produce. Just one emission event of a volcano creates more carbon dioxide, you know, but that's a part of the natural process of life here on Earth, right? So aren't we just as much an integral part of nature as any other phenomenon that we experience on a regular basis, Sam? So you know, why is it, you know, that every other organism on this earth and every other natural phenomenon can go about its day-to-day business, yet human beings are an exception to that rule? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Wouldn't a warming planet, though, make the earth have more gradable or more inhabitable environmental space?
Yep, exactly. I mean, there are parts of northern Canada, Alaska, the Arctic Circle, Antarctica in the south, you know, which would expand our ability to grow crops, to build homes, and to live out our lives. I'm not sure that that's a net negative. I think that's a net positive. I'm
with
you on
that. What they will claim is we've got water problems. So I got a question for everybody, just so you think about it. All the ice is up there, and it's super frozen, and it gets warmer and warmer and warmer, so the North and South Poles start to melt. Where does all the water go? I just want to know this. Where does the water go?
Well, it eventually evaporates into the atmosphere, and it comes down in the form of rain, which we could use here in Utah about now, right?
Yeah, so if the ice is melting, the water's got to go somewhere unless somehow the Earth can have an escape valve and send water somewhere else. We've got as much water on the planet as when the Earth was formed, right? But here's the question. Yeah. Lake Mead, they say, now provides water to millions of people in seven states across the western United States. But droughts, exacerbated by climate change, they say has caused the reservoir to shrink to its lowest level since the Great Depression. Now, if the water's not in Lake Mead and the water's not in all these lakes and it's not raining and everything else, but the ice is melting, where's the water going?
Yeah, you can neither create nor destroy matter. That's one of the laws of thermodynamics, Sam. So it
doesn't
just
disappear. So
where's
the water then? I'm kind of stupid. Where'd it go?
Yeah, it's in clouds in the atmosphere.
Or it's deep in the earth.
Or it's deep in the earth, right? It's
but
there.
But it didn't go away. It's there, is what I'm getting at. So the question is, why can't we access it? Why are we being disconnected from the elements of the earth?
We know the answer is because we're an unrighteous people. And like we said before, God loves us enough to allow us to suffer the consequences of our own unrighteous actions. And he's doing that. We need to get on our knees and repent. This nation is in desperate need of repentance. There's plenty of water, and there's plenty of willingness on the part of our Creator to provide that water to us. There's just not the qualified righteousness in order to receive that blessing at this point in our de-evolution in this country, I would say, and in the world in general, Sam. And you and I have talked about that ad nauseum. So we
amen
to
that. Now, we talk about Joe Biden violating the rules and the laws of our country as he promotes this, quote, climate emergency lie. But good news, the courts are backing Joe off from his evil, dishonest, immoral attempt to violate the law.
Good for the courts.
And the headline says this. The Supreme Court curbed the EPA, that's the Environmental Protection Agency's, ability to, quote, regulate climate change, setting limits on how the agency can deal with power plants. The Hill is who gave me this piece. In a 6-3 decision, the majority ruled that Congress did not authorize the EPA to shift to, quote, cleaner energy sources, using the approach that Obama-era regulations, that's why I'm referencing Obama, when issuing a new ruling. I'll tell you what else happened. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about... time.
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
So Joe Biden trying to bypass Congress. The courts called a halt to his con game. Now the Supreme Court curbed the EPA's ability to regulate climate change, setting limits on how the agency can deal with power plants. Now listen to this. When that happened, the left went psychotic. They literally became unhinged. They've always been calling for manipulation of the Supreme Court. Let's add and take away justices and all this kind of stuff. But with the court putting a halt to Joe Biden's plot, the left has now come from calling from the court to be packed, meaning add a bunch of people to the porch, to now flat out calling for the abolition of the court entirely. They want the court to be outright abolished. And then they call me anti-government, and I say we need the checks and balances, and they say, oh, just get rid of the court. Don't need that at all. And then they say, I'm anti-government? Wow, they're ready to abolish a whole one-third of the plate, of the pie. Interesting indeed. But this is the climate change battle we're talking about, folks. Now, the interesting story is this. Thousands lost everything in fire set by the Forest Service. Yeah, they say it started small. With a team of federal employees using drip torches to ignite a scribe burn in the Santa Fe National Forest. Anyway, the sad part is it got out of control. Well,
isn't that what they accused the Hamas of doing?
Yeah, that's what they accused the Hamas of doing. They said they were terrorists, by the way. But now it turns out the government literally did this. It got out of control, and thousands lost everything in the fire set by your government.
Oh, but they're the good guys, Sam. I mean, they can do things like that. It's just the Hammonds working as private citizens. They can't do things like that. They're the bad guys, remember. They're not with the
government.
Now,
they say FEMA has distributed about $3.4 million to 1,000 families, the agency said. So this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, folks, that goes on. And when you think about it, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And the answer is, in my opinion, the only way we're going to fight anything is if we stop the government from doing things they're not allowed to do, that they don't have authority to do. It's the only way we'll solve this. Now, they say Mr. Biden expressed support for a bill to create a fund to cover losses when the government lights fires. Folks, we're just adding insult to injury. All right. Now, there's a lot of people trying to sue the Forest Service over this, but of course, the government can't really be sued. So the battle's on. Climate change is the issue that's putting each of us as Americans in the crosshairs. Now, what would it look like if they had their environmental earth plans in place? You wouldn't drive cars. You wouldn't have air conditioning. You wouldn't eat meat. What would your life be like, Chris?
Well, it would be pretty primitive, I'll say that, and restricted and limited. We wouldn't be able to exercise as much agency, God-given agency. And there would be a revolution overnight. So, and maybe that's what they want. I think there's an effort on the part of the people behind the scenes, Sam, of agitating both the right and the left, because I think if they can foment a revolution, then they can really clamp down on us. I think that's what they want. Because they're I mean, you look at the Supreme Court decisions that have been recently handed down. You talk about the EPA decision, where the EPA can no longer restrict carbon emissions. And, of course, the Roe versus Wade, I mean, that was a landmark decision. That's going to irritate the left. And I think what they want is they want to agitate both sides to where we're fighting against each other even more so than we have been in the past. I don't know. That's just a theory I'm working on. Do you have any explanation for that? Why the Supreme Court would hand down so many good decisions recently?
Well, look, they can't run it off the rails all at once, or the natives get too restless. All right.
Yeah.
So what you've got to do is you've got to play good cop, bad cop. You got to use the Hegelian dialectic, where they create a conflict. The only answer is government, which they'll drive you to. So all you got to do then is have the AOCs, Ocasio-Cortez or the Hillary Clintons or the Barack Obamas or the whoever's, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, these ilk, which are nothing but front men for the real communists behind the scenes. What they've got to do is paint a picture so dire that you'll be like, those guys are nuts. But then you got the, quote, conservative guys that come out and go, no, listen, that's crazy. Climate change and Israel, but, you know, you can't be crazy. You got to let's put, you know, appropriate guidelines in place to protect the people from the climate change threat. And then slowly but surely what you do is you have the Democrats lead the way, painting the extreme. The reasonable people only come along 20 years later, but betraying us just as well. And you saw that with the don't ask, don't tell policy of the gay and lesbian agenda in the military. Okay, at first it was like, hey, you can't be gay or lesbian in the military, and if you know, you're out of the military. And then they said, look, let's have a don't ask, don't tell policy, said the Democrats. And the Republicans said, oh, no, that's crazy. Can't do that. That would be really bad. You'd have a bunch of gays in the military. And then eventually they said, yeah, and they pushed it, and they got it. But then 20 years later, then they're like, hey, let's just promote gay and lesbians in the military. Let's promote transgender and bisexual and all these things. And then the conservatives who were against the don't ask, don't tell policy 20 years later are like, oh, no, we got to back the don't ask, don't tell policy. We can't go into the crazy abyss of just promoting gay and lesbians everywhere. I mean, come on, we can't do that. We got to have the don't ask, don't tell policy. And that was the conservative way. And so, see, they move the narrative. So all you got to do is have AOC whacked out, go, you shouldn't eat any meat, and we ought to abolish the courts. Wow. And then the conservatives go, wow. Oh, no, we don't need to do that. But by golly, you know what? We ought to let Impossible Burgers compete at every restaurant. Let's get Impossible Burgers in the restaurant so people have a choice. See? And so you got the good cop, bad cop, but the reality is they're moving the needle, building consensus towards the government being the only solution. And so you got the government literally lighting fires that get out of control and burn everything down, right? You've literally got the government now admitting that, hey, we don't have enough water in Lake Mead at all. No one discusses where the water's from. And so now you got, hey, imagine if there was no heaven. Imagine if there was no people, everybody shared their position. Imagine this world where we depopulate. Okay, this is the narrative they're eventually building consensus for. And sadly, Christians are jettisoning their faith left and right to get there. And ladies and gentlemen, it's our job to stand in the gap and warn that we best not turn our back on the Savior of the world. If we do, there are no good answers. The only way to safety, the only way to stability, the only way is to promote God, family, and country in a Christian viewpoint, which means there's a Savior. But we must do what the Savior of the world asks us to do to receive his protection. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing the repercussions from, hey, there's not going to be enough food, to the evil government always managing this Hegelian dialectic to abuse us all, right on down the line. And if you can't see it now, heaven help us. But I would say this, I believe there is a heaven. It's not imaginary, it's real. There is a God who sits in his heaven. He's known as our Heavenly Father because we're his children. And he loves us and he wants us to be happy. And he's teaching us how to be happy. In fact, we had Lone Nelson on just the other day talking about this article of, you know what, whenever you don't farm the land, whenever you don't plant trees on the land, whenever you don't live on the land and care for the land, it turns into a horrible desert. But when people put cows on the land and animals on the land and live on the land and plant trees on the land, and pretty soon water is available, pretty soon, because all these things foster caring for God's earth. It's not just a globe that hates us or an enmity scenario. It can be a God-ordained plan for his children. The earth was created for us to live on and to be stewards of and to live together in happiness and harmony together. And so we need to point the way of salvation and solution to everyone. And we need to be relentless in teaching these principles, because the word is more powerful than the sword, Chris.
Exactly. And then you talked about, you know, if you let the land fallow, if you don't do anything, it will turn to desert or wasteland. And where we live here in the Great Salt Lake Valley, Sam, is a perfect illustration of that. In fact, on Monday, we celebrate, no, Sunday, tomorrow, we celebrate Pioneer Day. And it commemorates the day that the Mormon saints arrived here in this valley, and they found one tree in the entire valley, the Salt Lake Valley. And Jim Bridger said, I'll give somebody $1,000 if they can produce one ear of corn in this desolate valley called the Salt Lake Valley. And you look at it today, it is a veritable cornucopia of agricultural production, Sam. We've got alfalfa, we've got corn, we've got fruit trees, we've got every vegetable and fruit under the sun that you can imagine that we're growing abundantly in this great valley. And it's because of God's blessings and man's industry that we've been able to convert it that way.
Well, and God gave us the water that's still on the planet, and he helped us learn how to channel it and create fertile fields as a result. And you know what? The prophecy's coming true. The Rocky Mountains is blossoming like the rose. It's becoming the great place to live. Why? Because I believe that the people are more faithful to God in this area than in other places. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean when we turn to God, the blessings become poured down upon our heads that there's not even room enough to receive them. Ladies and gentlemen, reality is clear if you pay attention. The solutions are evident and available to you and I. The only question left is, will we embrace them, Chris? The answer is, I pray yes.
Yeah, because here's the ironic thing. You know, we talked last hour about the January 6th riots. I dare say 99% of those people that are now languishing in jail are Christians, and they went up to the Capitol for a good reason. They were deceived. You know, we talked about the foolhardiness of their mission. But they are Christians, and I hope now, as they're languishing in jail, that they will consider their actions and how foolhardy and ill-advised they were, and how we need to just stand our ground here in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own counties and states, and seek for change here, because that's where it's going to be affected. And we may be isolated at times from the rest of the nation. So be it. At least we'll survive, and at least we will be able to make change here on the local level, because it's certainly not going to be made in Washington, D.C. And hopefully we've learned our lesson the hard way from having attempted that as a remedy for our problems. Because the problems are, and as we've talked about before, Sam, our problems are not fundamentally political. Our problems are spiritual. We have wandered from the precepts of God in a very, very horrible manner here in this country. We've allowed abortion. And let me give you a little tidbit. You know, we talked about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. We talked about how there were trigger laws in the state of Utah, and how automatically those trigger laws would be put into effect, to where abortions would be immediately stopped in very limited cases. They would be allowed. And believe it or not, in the state of Utah, you can still get an abortion, because one judge decided that those trigger laws need to be set aside and impose an injunction on the prohibition of abortions. Anyway.
Sad tale to tell, ladies and gentlemen. You and I need to turn to God, family, and country for solutions, ladies and gentlemen. I know things look pretty dire, but you know what? Take faith, take courage, take hope. That's what this broadcast is all about. As we the people stand together for the sacred cause of liberty and implore our God to bless us and protect us. I don't know, I watched a movie last night and it kind of highlights the point. How about angels in the outfield? Are there angels around us, and can they help us hit and throw and raise children and do all that we need to do? I say that it's a resounding yes. God save the Republic.